Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. You've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Hello, welcome to Howe's New York with real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight, we welcome the Brooklyn broker, Julie Thumb, to the show to tell us just what's going on in Brooklyn real estate for the summer. And now, here as always is our host, Robert Howe.
Everyone to Howe's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe. And again, we're talking about a multitude of topics, including politics, real estate, community, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. And tonight we have as our guest Julie Thumb, who is an associate broker with RE/MAX Elite. Julie's better known as Julie the Brooklyn Broker, and we're happy to have you on our show. And Julie's also coming to us from a new location on 3rd Avenue in Bay Ridge, 8201 3rd Avenue. How are you liking your new – welcome, Julie, and how are you liking your new headquarters?
I love it. We have a beautiful office. It's very visible. It's on a corner. It's so attractive and getting a lot of great feedback. So it's been a really good move. Thank you.
Good. Great. Well, we wish you the best with your move. And once again, we're going to pick your brain. I think we had you on several months ago talking about things like seasonality, how it affects the market. But before we get into that topic, why don't you just tell us how 2017 has played out so far. I know we went into 2017 with the uncertainty of the election, and we still have uncertainty of the election all the way up through July of 2017. But having said that, how has the market been for the first half of 2017?
Well, quite honestly, it was unaffected by the election. You know, it's still very, very much a seller's market. There's very low inventory, and it's not just in our area. It's even in New Jersey and Staten Island, you know, goes out to the outer boroughs also. But in Brooklyn specifically, we have a shortage. We still have a lot of buyers, and even though the interest rates crept up a bit, money is still cheap. It's still very inexpensive to borrow, and people are really looking to get their foot in the door and buy something. I find now a little bit of a change has been that smaller apartments, one-bedroom and studio co-ops, are going like hotcakes, and there's multiple bidding, you know, bidding wars on these things because those are much more affordable, and you can get your foot in the door and own something. So I have my own experience with a couple of my own buyers having, you know, engaged in a bidding war and getting very frustrated, unfortunately, with those type of apartments. So things are still moving. Bay Ridge is still hot. All of Brooklyn is still hot. And also, you know, the reason being that a lot of people who can't buy in other areas, can't buy in Manhattan, let's say, are, you know, they're gravitating more toward Brooklyn, which has been happening over the past several years, but it's happening more and more. People keep coming further south. So the people from northern Brooklyn are gravitating to southern Brooklyn, which is, you know, Bay Ridge. And then if they can't buy in Bay Ridge, they seem to go to Staten Island. You can't go to Staten Island. You go to New Jersey and so on. So the market's been very, very strong still.
Julie, is it my imagination or just about every house in Bay Ridge has a $1 million figure in front of it?
No, it's not your imagination, Bob. It is really true. There is actually nothing for sale that I can think of that I've seen in I don't know how long that's been under $1 million, for whether it be a one family, a two family, just crazy. Yeah, everything has at least a one in front of it and then followed by six other digits.
Yes, and I guess that's why, as you mentioned, that the studios and one bedroom co-ops, what's their price range, would you say?
Well, studios are going anywhere from, depending on the studio, of course, you know, anywhere from $150 would be on the low end if it needed a lot of work or it was small, up to even over $200,000, where you used to be able to buy one, you know, smaller one-bedroom apartments for around $200,000 or the low $200,000s. Now those are going, you know, around $300,000, so they've really gone up considerably. So yeah, the studios. I just closed on a studio. Actually, it was with you, Bob. You represented our buyer, and
yeah.
We had listed for $169,000, and she paid $175,000 on her own, went over the asking price. It appraised for that. And one bedrooms are going. I just had a deal on a one bedroom. On Shore Road, they were asking $345,000, I think, or three, and she went and offered $360,000, and the offer was accepted. So, and it wasn't even a huge one bedroom and didn't have a view or anything. So the prices are in that range right now. Even there are some one bedrooms I know of that have gone actually over $400,000.
And with that, you know, we mentioned that houses are all have the $1 million mark in front of them.
Right.
But co-ops are now starting to seem high 400s, low 500s are becoming
yes.
a norm.
And more. I have a two-bedroom, two-bath right now on the market where I have an offer. We're actually negotiating right now. Someone within the building has made an offer. And we're just close to $600,000, but actually she paid $599,000 for it.
Okay.
And now our offer is very close to that. But unfortunately, it's actually lower than she paid 2 years ago, which is rather strange. So that's kind of a little bit of a mystery to me. But I have another one in contract, which you actually also the attorney for my buyer client, because we do a lot of business together. And that one, a two-bedroom, two-bath, is going for $680,000. And it has to be completely done over.
Yeah, so everything's creeping up, but you know the studios and the small one bedrooms for 100 or 200 seem like a bargain compared with 600
yes.
or a million. So I guess
yeah.
And you know, to get into a $1 million property, you need a chunk of money as a deposit To get into a small co-op, you don't need that chunk, but at least you can get your foot in the door and be part of the action.
Correct. Yes, that's true.
So tonight's show, we wanted to talk about, we have you on in the middle of the summer. It's kind of, we just had a little thunderstorm come through, and it's still, 200% humidity. And we were talking about seasonality affecting real estate. And do you see any factor? Is there a summer factor coming on here, or people are buying all 12 months out of the year?
I don't see, since the market has been crazy the way it's been, so strong, and seller's market, I don't really see any effect from the seasons on the market whatsoever. I just don't. The serious buyers are there. They will call you to see the property, to make an appointment, or if you have an open house, they'll show up. They don't seem to be affected by or care about the fact that it's summer. Now, I personally do not do open houses, and in fact have not had an open house in I cannot tell you how many years. I'm probably one of the few real estate people that does not, because my belief is that a serious buyer will call and make the appointment to see the property if they really are serious about buying now. And the season doesn't affect them because they can see it during the week. They can see it during the day, in the morning, in the evening, most of the time. So there's not a situation where, oh, it's the weekend, they're going to the beach or they're on vacation. You know, it really doesn't seem to matter. So I really think the only time you might have an issue with timing for season is if you have a family with children and they want to be settled in their place by September, by the time school starts, then you're talking about a time element there where someone is going to look to close by the end of the summer, you know, and so in that way it would affect, the season might affect someone's purchasing. But otherwise, I don't think there's been any indication of that happening in the longest time, truly. And, people are out there, and they're online. And because today, you know, buying is so different than it used to be, where you're looking online and you're finding the properties and you're contacting the agent via email or text or cell phone, or you're calling, however you're getting in touch with them, you get a response pretty quickly, and you set up an appointment. So, you know, you really want to work with buyers who want to buy now. So seasons are not going to matter to them.
So let's focus on sellers for a second. And sellers, I mean, what are some of your clients who are sellers telling you the reason that they want to or need to sell?
Okay, well, several of them, you know, one of our clients that we have in common who bought the two-bedroom, two-bath, you know, the reason they were just getting squeezed out of the space they had because they now have a child. When they originally bought the apartment, the co-op apartment they had, which was a junior four, so a little bit larger than a regular one-bedroom, they had no kids. In fact, they were just getting married. So I find that I have other clients with the same situation. They are wanting to move because of space. Other people are, you know, if somebody's a little bit older, they're looking to retire, they're looking to get out of the neighborhood, you know, that's another reason they're looking to go elsewhere, you know, down south maybe, or, you know. And then the other reason is people are, you know, you have people, sometimes it's a job situation also. I have clients recently, two different clients, another one you were representing, they're moving to New Jersey because they want a house with a backyard. They have a little boy now. They actually have a two-bedroom, two-bath with a yard that I sold to them, which we have a deal on now. We're selling again to someone else. And they actually do have a little outdoor space, but they want to have that bigger yard and the regular house and all that, you know. I have other clients that just did the same thing. Again, they have two children. They were in an apartment. They wanted the house. So I think I would say those are the main driving factors for people moving. Sometimes it's just downsizing. also. So it's pretty much the same reasons that it's always been for people who are selling. In some cases, though, now because people just want to, you know, get the money because they see the prices are so high. In some cases, we have people that just say, you know what, let me just capture what I can now. You know, I don't owe anything on my house, so I owe very little on my house. I can make so much money now, and I could take that money and invest it, or I can take that money and buy something smaller, you know. So you do have some of that now, too, people looking to get as much as they can out of their property.
Yeah, I was wondering if that's a motivating factor, although I've never come across too many clients that say that's their motivating. As you point out, some move because of jobs, need bigger space, etc. But no one ever said, I want to lock in, you know, as if you were selling a stock or something, I want to lock in my gain. But I guess they're saying, boy, you know, our house was in the $500,000 range 5 or 10 years ago, and now it's over $1 million. We better, you know, get out while the getting's good and lock in this. But
yeah, you do have some of that. You definitely do.
So let's take it now from a buyer's perspective. When buyers approach you, what are they saying? Are they saying things like, we want to get in before the rate goes, you know, higher, or the prices go higher, or what are some of the motivations of your purchasers?
I haven't been hearing that. I've been hearing mainly that they don't want to rent anymore. I have a couple of buyers now who are just, they want to buy something, they just want to, you know, they're tired of renting, or a couple of clients I have, buyers are living at home. They're not kids, but they're, you know, young still, you know, 30s, 40, and they really just want to move out of their parents' house and have their own place and their own space. So I'm hearing that. And then the buyers also sometimes are upgrading. So I have people that have been in a one-bedroom or a studio situation and are looking to buy something larger, like these clients that we have now who went from a junior four to a two-bedroom, two-bath, because they just needed the space. It wasn't even a matter of they really wanted it. They really need it. So, you know, they just totally outgrew the space they were in. And they needed to have more square footage. So, you know, that was like a quality of life issue then, you know. So I would say those are the main reasons that buyers are buying. And the interest rates are still low. So even though everybody was, you know, kind of panicking about the interest rates going up, and we really were uncertain as to how much they would go up and when, the money is still very inexpensive to borrow. So you can own something at a very low rate. You're talking, you know, around 4%, you know, is what it's going to cost you for a mortgage. And it's going to be less expensive in many cases than renting.
Right. There is sort of like a trade-off. At some point you say it, I might as well be putting this money towards a mortgage rather than towards the landlord. So rates, you're not hearing from your buyers that they're scared of the rates. I don't hear that myself either, although they have ticked up from the mid-threes to the low-fours, but it doesn't seem to be that much of an impact on the market that we were all fearing.
No, not in the least. I thought it was going to be a little, and we also didn't know how much they were going to go up, but we kind of did hear it was probably going to be a quarter of a point, you know, which it was. That's really not a lot. The only time you really get affected when it really is, you know, going to have a more of an effect is when someone has a jumbo loan, you know, when they're borrowing a lot more money and they're buying something in excess of $1 million, you know, something really up there in price. Obviously, it's going to cost a lot more. In less expensive real estate, it doesn't matter as much. But the fact is, if you want to buy, these are what the rates are now, and you might as well get a jump now, because who knows, you never know what the future will bring. I mean, I don't see the rates ever going up crazy again the way they were years ago, but you really can never predict what's going to happen. So If you want to buy, now's a good time. If you can find something to buy, that's the issue.
Right, yeah. So, and talk about for a moment, people coming into Bay Ridge from other areas of Bay Ridge, the Williamsburgs, the downtown Brooklyns, the Sunset Parks. What is the trend happening there? Is there one?
Well, there's been for several years. We are getting people from northern Brooklyn and other parts of Brooklyn coming to Bay Ridge because Bay Ridge is, while it's not cheap, it's less expensive than those areas, than Williamsburg, Park Slope. Even Sunset Park has gotten very pricey. And, you know, now with the that whole area around Industry City really being developed, it's getting very popular over there. So, you know, you really like, where is the place that you can still go that you can afford something? So I do feel a lot of people coming to Bay Ridge. I've had a couple people from Manhattan come to Bay Ridge, too. I've sold over the years. You know, we do have that migration from other parts of the city toward Brooklyn, toward Bay Ridge specifically. And that's been happening for a while. And then what happens, you know, as I mentioned earlier, if you can't buy in Bay Ridge, then where's the next place you go? You go to Staten Island. If you can't go to Staten Island, you go to New Jersey. Consequently, in the reverse, the people who are living in Queens do the same thing in the reverse order. They'll go to Nassau County and then Suffolk County, so they go out the other way. And also sometimes depends on where you work, too. If you work midtown or down, you know, further south, it makes more sense to live in Brooklyn. If you work midtown or up, you tend to gravitate toward Queens. So, but yeah, we do have people coming from other areas for sure, buying co-ops and buying houses and, you know, even to the limited amount of condos that we have. We do have people definitely from other areas of Brooklyn.
And what is their reaction when they see a house that's selling for what their condo used to sell for in Park Slope or even less?
Well, of course, they think it's so inexpensive. I just sold something to a couple, bought an apartment, a three-bedroom, two-bath apartment from me here in Bay Ridge. They came from Park Slope. They bought a co-op. They owned a condo there. I think they lived in the condo or they rented the condo, lived somewhere else. I don't remember exactly what the situation was, but they immediately offered over the asking price. They thought they got a bargain, and they did get they got a fair deal. But they paid all cash for it also. There was not even a mortgage involved. And, you know, they're very happy. They were coming to, you know, this area, seeing that the prices were lower. They could find something spacious for a much lower number. So, you know, that's what they do.
So we only have a few moments left, Julie. Give us your forecast for the rest of 2017 in terms of inventory, prices increasing, rates stabilizing or increasing. What's going to go on for the rest of the year, and what's the strategy you would recommend for?
Well, I wish I had a crystal ball so
yeah,
I could really tell you.
Yeah, we wanted you to have a fixed. We wanted you to have it fixed by tonight's program, but
yeah, I wish I had a crystal ball. I don't see anything changing dramatically. I don't see the prices going up further. That's for sure. In fact, I kind of felt a very slight change. That things have really stabilized in Bay Ridge specifically. If we're talking about Bay Ridge. And, you know, of course, I sell in other parts of Brooklyn as well. Even I sell in Manhattan. I have something for sale in the Upper West Side. I do see kind of a little bit of a stabilization of the prices. I don't see the interest rates going up. They just raised them again. I don't think they're going to go up till the following year, till 2018, if they're going to go up again. The only thing that concerns me that could change things possibly is the current political situation. But, of course, it hasn't changed thus far, so, you know, and that's kind of a really a crapshoot because you really don't know. But the economy seems to be relatively strong still, regardless of anything else that's happening. and people seem to have jobs. People seem to be okay. So I would say here in New York City, I think we're going to see a continued, eagerness to purchase, people being able to sell, prices high. But I don't see them going up anymore because realistically it just is so overinflated right now. And I know I said this already a year ago, but it's so really so overinflated that if it goes up anymore, I think we would have a crash, and that would be very devastating. So it would be better if things just stabilized, which they seem to have right now, and then we don't get into that kind of a situation.
All right. Well, there you have it. Thank you, Julie. Where can people find you if they're looking to find you on the web? Do you have any web presence?
Yes, they can find me at thebrooklynbroker.com, and that is my website. And they can also find me on Zillow, and they should check out all my 145 five-star reviews on Zillow.
I know you're very proud of your Zillow reviews.
I am proud of all my reviews. I'm also on some other sites. I'm on a lot of different sites, but they can definitely find me at The Brooklyn Broker, or they can find me at Remax Elite at 8201 3rd Avenue in Bay Ridge.
Well, perfect. Once again, Julie, we thank you for your look back at the beginning of 2017 and your forecast for the balance of the year, and we'll talk to you at the end of the year and see, if some of those prognostications came true or not.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you very much for having me on your show again. I appreciate it.
We always love having you on, Julie.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Good night now. Thanks.
Bye.
Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Julie Thumb of RE/MAX Elite. She's an associate broker there. For her sharing her thoughts on what's gone on in the beginning of 2017 and what she thinks is going to happen for the balance of the year, and for her sharing her thoughts and ideas with us. This is House New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings.